Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. I want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you, and maybe you've joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony or just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you'll find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, grow in your marriage, and grow in your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Apostle Paul prayed in the Holy Ghost more than anybody, wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 11 is a long list. It's the only time Paul ever got negative. You know, Paul, he was a positive guy, you know. But also, I think maybe he missed lunch and breakfast one day, and it wasn't going too good. For Corinthian church, on the left, Paul, we're having a hard time over here. Man, this is hard. You saw how hard it is. We got a guy shacked up with his mother-in-law, and everybody's getting drunk at communion. They don't have a little cup. They're just sucking it down, and we got stuff going on. And so Paul writes a letter back. So you're having a hard time, huh? Bless your heart, you thumb-sucking. Anyhow, he said, well, I wasn't going to share, but hey, let me share. And he goes to this thing, you know, I've been beat 5 times with rod, 3 times with lashes, 3 times my boat sank, snake bit me, I've been froze to death, about starved to death, people lie. He just went on this long list, and there's not a 3 Corinthians. They didn't write him back. So here's what you have to understand. I'm doing, this is a whole degree in theology. I'm going to give you in about 5 minutes. We live on a cursed planet. God gave this planet to Adam. It was blessed, highly favored, everything. Good, 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 very good. All of a sudden, you know, God says, not good. He says, what is it? You're alone. I'm going to make you a wife. Fix all this. So God makes Eve. They go off in fellowship that day, but the devil's already been cast down to the planet. He gum flaps them out of everything, gets Adam and Eve to sin. When they sin, they got fired from their job, evicted from their house. The kids start killing each other. God comes down. What'd you do? And I said, what did you do? I didn't do nothing. Yes, you did. What'd you do? Did you eat that fruit I told you not to eat? And he's thinking like, well, it was the woman you gave me. It was the woman, because God, me and you, it was good. It was good with me and you. And ever since you brought her into my life, I've been going downhill. Now I'm talking on finances. I'm not left the subject, because I know what it is you're doing. So God comes down to eat. What's your story? She said, well, yeah, you know, snake's fault. Snake's fault. Told you like that snake's fault. And nobody will take responsibility for themselves. My husband's fault, my wife's fault, the government's fault, president's fault, Congress's fault, Senate's fault. As long as you can point a finger another direction, you'll never change. You've got to decide it is my responsibility and I'm about to come out of this thing. So all of a sudden, you know, he comes to us, well, here's what's going to happen now that you've sinned. And he said, woman, you're going to have pain in childbirth, which means I assume having a baby before the fall is like spitting out a watermelon seed. And having a baby after fall like spitting out a watermelon. He said, Adam, now that you've sinned, you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow. Because thorns and thistles, oh, you're going to earn a living, but thorns and thistles are going to grow. And this will be hard to earn a living. So everybody said, well, it's hard, man. It's hard work. I work hard. And man, my boss, he ain't fair. And they don't give me a raise. There's not enough money. I went wrong. And you've got to get out of that attitude and realize something. No, the earth's under curse. I'm not. I'm born again. I have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness, placed in the kingdom of God's dear son. I don't belong to the devil anymore. I might be behind enemy lines, but I don't belong to the enemy. I got the armor of God. I got the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit. My job is to storm hell, not thumb suck about it. So all of a sudden, financially, I remember Denise and I going through this growing up in poverty. We thought, we got to get out of this. We have got to get out of this poverty mess. How are we going to do that? Well, we got to change the way we think, because evidently we think poor. We think poverty. Well, you just hope we get by. Hope we have a good year. Hope we don't get laid off. Hope the transmission doesn't fall out. Hope the refrigerator door stays shut. I hope the dryer door won't fall over. My God, I hope we don't get the flu. I said, praise God, it was a good year. Nothing bad happened. I realized we're going to have to change this. So the financial book you got in your hand is a result of what Denise and I went through years ago. We didn't write a book. We were trying to get out of financial hell. So we put this together not as a book. We put this together as a couple trying to realize we got to bust this thing off of us. We cannot repeat this curse of poverty that's coming down our family line. I mean, we made certain decisions, like all of our kids are going to go to college because nobody in our family had gone to college. Nobody, you know. So we're going to make sure all our kids get college degrees. So not only to get degrees, I went to private college. I violated every law you can imagine, man. We're going to stick your neck out, hold it out further than you can hold it up yourself. Just get it out there. And so Sarah and Jessica, my older two, went to Oral Roberts University on scholarships. Lauren and Corey went to Lee University, private university of Tennessee on scholarship. Lauren, my fifth daughter, she's the O'Moore School of Design up in Franklin. That's an expensive school. Well, she's on scholarship, and John's finished up a senior at Oral Roberts University. He's on scholarship. He said, "Boy, you sure got lucky. There ain't no such thing as luck. There's God, the devil, heaven, and hell. We're in the middle like a Oreo cookie. You better get some attitude about you. You better get aggressive, figure out." So I needed some free money. So, buddy, I went and visited schools and offices and people and professors. How do you get free money? People get scholarships every day. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. I want myself some wealth. Who's got some? And I'm looking for it. And so we took tests and figured out how to get a high SAT score. Started practicing tests in seventh grade. And some people said, how'd you get all that scholarship money? Worked for it. Found out where it was. Beat on doors. Took tests. Got stuff. Like, boy, you sure are lucky. There ain't no such thing as luck, but we are blessed because God promised he had opened doors no man can shut, shut doors no man can open, and bless everything we set our hand to. So not only did we get our kids out of college, they went out to a private college, did real stinking good. And it doesn't end there, because every day you get to believe God. This is not a destination. This is a journey. Every day of your life. Right now, we've been taking care of our parents for the last 3 years. We didn't know they were going to get Alzheimer's and get old and die. We didn't know we were going to spend thousands of dollars when we're, you know, hitting our 60s. What are we going to do? Spend thousands for our parents. Parents left for the children, children left for the parents. So our own kids have asked, where you been the last 3 years? Chattanooga, take care of our family. Said, you need to pray we live real long and healthy. We're going to come live with you. You think I'm joking? All right, here we go. Blessed or broke. I'm going to read a few things here. This is called Wealth Consciousness. I'm going to jump in and just kind of lay some stuff out for you. I read a lot of good books. I read a secular book in the airport years ago in Dallas. Talking about wealth. This guy, him and his wife, they lived up in Minnesota. And they're Democrats. They hate Republicans. Said when the Democrats get in office, we get hired, we get a raise. When the Republicans get in office, we get laid off and we get fired. And so they're not Christian. They're just different. But he realized something. I got to do something financially. So in 2.5 years, he read 64 books on money. He just started going to the library and checking out books on money. He said, "Evidently, I don't have a clue about money. I've got a degree. I'm a great teacher, but I don't know how money works." And so the whole story of his book was how, you know, by the time he retired, he had $2.1 million in the bank. It's like, what'd you do? Well, I learned to buy stuff, you know, that if my kids use it, I figured it'd be a good stock. So Nike, we're buying all kinds of Nike stuff, you know, so I was invested in Nike. And my kids use it, I bought stock in it, you know, I might buy a $10 stock or a $15 stock. And so he began to watch how he handled his money, man. They had a vacation home up on Lake Michigan and went through stuff. I thought, well, dear God, if a heathen can do that, why can't a Christian do that? So, well, we got no vision. Well, there's no vision, the people perish. I got to be a vision for something. So Denise and I began to sit down. We realized something. We're going to have to change our attitude. So I love this. This is Brooke Stevens. I didn't read 60-something books. I only read 57. But I read 57 books in 2 years to educate myself about money. So we're going to get ourselves blessed and wealthy. We're going to be filthy, stinking rich. I said, we're not taking money to heaven with us. We're leaving every dime of it behind. You don't get to take it with you. But you need to steward it. The Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children and his grandchildren. So I'm not spending anybody's inheritance. I'm leaving money behind. And so you had to change your attitude. Because, well, how old are you? I don't care how old I am. I'm going to live forever anyhow. The Bible says so. That went past you real quick. I'm eternal. You're eternal. Everybody lives forever somewhere. If you're born again, you live forever in heaven. So what are we going to do? I'm going to live forever. You can't even count how old I'm going to be. There's no number. So you feel old? I ain't old. I'm eternal. One day this body will drop off. I'll get me another one. I'm still here, boys. I'm still around. I don't know what you're thinking. I'm going to live forever, so I don't have to worry about growing old. I got a piece of you. I love my age. My God, I don't want to go back. So this is called Wealth Consciousness. I love this lady. She wrote a book called Wealth Happens One Day at a Time. Her name's Brooke Stevens. Grew up in Harlem, poor as dirt. Got born again, goes to church, believes in paying her tithe. Went to Harvard, graduated, writes for the New York Times, and she's incredible. Incredible woman. Wrote this book, though, and here's what she said in the beginning of her book. The research that she did showed that our parents and the influential people in our lives when we are growing up greatly define what we come to believe as adults about our ability to prosper. I'm at the top of page 10. Second paragraph. In other words, we grew up believing that we were undeserving or unable to have any of the material things that would make our lives easier, more enjoyable, no matter how hard we work or how quickly we accomplished our financial goals. Our attitudes and underlying beliefs about ourselves would eventually destroy us. What you think about money is critical. It's critical. As a man thinks his heart, so is he. You've got to think right. Ecclesiastes 5, 19 and 20. When God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables that man to enjoy them and his work and his lot in life, that is a gift from God. For that man will seldom reflect on the past days of his life. For God will keep that man occupied with gladness of heart. Coming out of poverty and poverty mentality and teaching on poverty, I had to get that out of me, and I didn't do it overnight. What Pastor shared is just critical. You got to get in a group with other people, and you got to hang there and stay there till Jesus comes. Man, I had to get 3 by 5 cards, and we started to have other people over to our house who thought different than we did, who read different than we did, who believed different. Hang on, I got to start thinking different because I'm hanging with a bunch of other poor people. Yeah, dear God, we're just glad we're here, you know. Well, I'm not. This stinks. I got to get out of this mess. Anyhow, number 2, right there in the middle of that page, real men accept responsibility. This is a classic one, 1 Timothy 5:8. If any man does not provide for his family financially, he is worse than an infidel. He is as one who has denied the faith. My job is to financially take care of my family. Now, guys, when I grew up, life was different. My dad made $10,000 a year. We had a $55 a month rent house. I mean, for $35 a week, you could eat steak. Well, that changed. My senior in high school, gasoline was 23 cents a gallon. 23 cents. It jumped all the way up to 28. My dad refused to drive to work. Seriously, he walked to DuPont. He walked there. He said, 29 cents. That will kill America. We cannot afford gasoline, 29 cents a gallon. I said, my God, we should have bought a lake and buried a bunch of it. That would have been. We live in two economies. Page 12, you can read through this. Two economies. One's faith and one is work. Faith without works is dead. Work without faith is dead. I need to believe that God wants me blessed, but I got to find out what my deal is, what my gift is that will make room for me, make me money, make me wealthy. What gift am I good at? So I've always been big on an education, on teaching our kids. The reason our school in Tulsa, Oklahoma was the number one academic school for 5 years was because I taught our kids to find out what they're good at. Quit trying to be good at something you stink at. Everybody's good at something, or God lied. Your gift will make room for you, bring you before kings, and make you wealthy. Not your sister's gift, not your brother's gift, not your daddy's gift, your gift. But if you don't know you have one, you're just going to be a thumb sucker till Jesus comes. You got to find out that you're gifted. So we went through that process of finding out the two economies and how you succeed in both of them. Page 17, sort of right in the middle. This is a plaque I put on my wall. Right in the middle. It says, money and God. One I serve, the other serves me. Because people think, well, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. Love money is the root of all evil. I don't love money. I love my wife. Suck the lips off that woman's face. I love that woman. I don't love money. I need money. So my wife, I like to suck the lips off her face. She needs some. My kids need money. You know, my mortgage company needs money. You know, the automobiles, they all need money. So I don't love money. I love other stuff. But I need money. I better know how it works. Look at this on page 18. You can love God and still die broke. Oh, this is just such a sad story. 2 Kings 4:1. Widow comes to the prophet of God. She's sad. She's broke. She's got 2 kids. Her husband's dead. She didn't have a thing in the house. She's broke, broke. She comes to the prophet and said, my husband loved God, feared God, served God, and died broke. And the prophet said, of a truth, your husband did love, fear, serve God, but he was stupid when it came to money. Because her husband had worked for the prophet. And he acknowledged, yes, he loved God. Yes, he feared God. Yes, he served God, but he was stupid about money. And so when he died, they're so far in debt that the creditors are coming to get, not only she lost her husband, but they're coming to get her sons as bond slaves to pay off the debt that her husband had accumulated. I thought, my God, how sad would it be not only to lose your husband, your father, but now you're going to go be a prisoner the rest of your life paying off somebody's debt. And so, you know, the story, it was great. People don't believe it, but it's true. And she said, what can I do? And he said, well, we're getting ready to take up an offering. What have you got? I got nothing. I'm a poor widow. No, you don't understand. If you don't sow something, you don't reap something. What have you got? She said, I got a half a can of oil. That's all I got in the house. We've hocked everything. Yeah, we'll start with that. We'll start with a half can of oil. Said, you got any neighbors? She said, yeah. Well, go borrow some buckets and pots from your neighbors. Can you do that? Yeah. All right, go do that. So she went home. Poor, they're coming to get her sons as bond slaves. She's broke as dirt, but she's going to do what the prophet said. So she borrows all the buckets and the pots. Hey, you got any empty buckets? You got any empty pots? She borrowed. Finally filled the house up. Not room for any more. Then the prophet said, you go in the house, you shut the door, you take that half a can of oil and you pour it in one of those empty buckets. And as long as there's an empty bucket to pour it into, that oil will keep pouring out of that can. And so all day, she just kept going from one bucket to the next, and that oil just kept pouring. When she filled up the last bucket that she got, the oil ran out. God said, I'll supply as long as you got room for it. When she finished, guess what I do now? She take the buckets of oil that you've got now, go down to the local marketplace, set you up a card table, get your sign and sell that oil. Well, it took days. She sold that oil. Not only did she pay off all the creditors and all the debtors, she retired off that sale. Now, people look at that story, well, that's just wacky. It's in the Bible. God loves to show off. I don't care how bad you are financially this morning, we ain't never going to get out. Yeah, you are. Because God is a miracle-working, show-off God. You go to heaven, he's got angels with six wings, not two. They got eyeballs on every side of their head. God's real gaudy. God's got gates made out of one big pearl. They're still frying that oyster, I guarantee you. God is in the financial miracle-working business, but he needs some faith. Do you believe that he will? Do you believe that he can? I don't care how stupid you've been. You can repent in about a 10-second period of time. Father, forgive me for being stupid, lazy, dishonest, or whatever you've been. You repent quick. You forgive quick. You get it under the blood. There's no record of your sin in heaven, and the devil's got no place on you. I'm telling you, we are a redeemed people.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday through Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Make sure you go to our website, JoeMcGeeMinistries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.